Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Welcome back to the Fantasy Football Report, Week 12. Hassan, how's it going? We might as well just get into how this week is. But you know, I've been asking this question with like an air of depression, dejection, sadness. Week 12, any better for you?
I think I'm broke. Any of our listeners want to lend me a few $100,000? That'd be great.
And a couch to sleep on.
I was hoping for the 100K because I might need. I'm so far so broke that that might not even make a dent in it. It's somehow mathematically I'm losing every game. I know I come on here a lot and say that, but this time, folks, it's actually sadly true. Just suffering a bad string of luck here, I think. Hang on. I'm winning some games. This is amazing. All right. But let's actually talk about the listeners aren't here to talk about us wail and moan about being poor. Let's talk about the Chicago Bears and New York Jets. Realistically, I got nothing on the Chicago Bears side except for Trevor Siemian. I mean, Justin Fields, it bears the right thing. But it looks like Zach Wilson's dust. Mike White is now officially the captain on the ship. He completed 22 of his 28 pass attempts for 315 yards and three touchdowns. Garrett Wilson, as usual, the guy who we've been doubting a lot, he popped, caught 5 of his 8 targets for 95 yards and 2 touchdowns. But it was nice to see Elijah Moore come alive. Got 2 of his 2 targets for 64 yards and a score. So, Blair, is this it? Can we, like, start Elijah Moore with confidence? And Wilson, if you were to redraft this rookie class, where does he wind up for you?
Yeah, I mean, in terms of Moore, I think he's still kind of a tough start, even though he did get the touchdown today because he only had 2 targets. So you want to see them use him more consistently. The other thing is the Jets play Buffalo and Minnesota in their next 2 weeks on the road. Those could be tough games. It would be good to see Mike White, how he plays in those games before we get too excited about this offense. Although, obviously, they look really good today. I mean, in terms of Garrett Wilson, I think you've got to have him as your wide receiver one of this class because overall, number one player. I mean, Breece Hall was great before he got hurt. That's really unfortunate. But,
yeah.
London didn't do anything today. Treylon Burks did recover a fumble for a touchdown today, but they've both been very disappointing on the season. So, and Wilson just looks amazing. So, yeah, I have no problem saying he would be receiver one in that class.
Yeah, we talked about it not too long ago. I was on team, but it's really, I mean, like, really.
I can't hear what you're saying. You're kind of breaking up, but
Sorry about that. Must be having internet connectivity issues here. But just saying that London gets it done. No, not London. Garrett Wilson. He's been getting it done with everybody, right? Like literally everybody. He's been. And I think that that's actually been one of the bigger news this season is that it doesn't matter. Flacco, Zach Wilson, Mike White, like Wilson's out there. Garrett Wilson, I should say, is out there just putting up numbers. And he's kind of relegated Elijah Moore to the 1B in this offense, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, 1B at best. I mean, who, you know, nobody else really got a ton of targets in this game. They were pretty spread out. You have Zonovan Knight and Conklin each with 3, CJ Uzoma with 3, Corey Davis had 3. But other than that, like Wilson's 8 were like easily the most in this team. So if you end up in a game like against Buffalo, where the opposing offense is putting up more points, even against Minnesota next week, you could see Mike White possibly attempting, you know, closer to 40 passes, and then you're looking at least 12 targets for Wilson. So, it's pretty exciting what he could do down the stretch with Mike White. All right, Hassan, you look frozen. We can talk a little bit about Chicago if you want to. Whoops. Get rid of that. Hopefully Hassan comes back. In the meantime, we can talk Chicago. I mean, obviously, this is a tough offense to evaluate without Justin Fields, but we would expect, hopefully, Chase Claypool to pick it up. Cole Kmet, obviously, we want to see more before we say these guys aren't gonna be stars or aren't gonna do anything in this offense. I mean, obviously they're not gonna be stars, but Trevor Siemian, hopefully he won't be the quarterback there for too much longer. I mean, the other guy we definitely need to talk about, especially now, is Josh Jacobs, who's putting up a huge game. This game is still going on. Raiders at Seahawks. He has 1 touchdown on the ground, 74 receiving yards, 120 rushing yards. He's someone Hassan and I were talking off air. We missed a lot of the guys who are playing well this season. That's one reason that so many of our teams aren't doing well, and I think Jacobs is kind of the perfect epitome of that. Oh, here we go. There he is.
I don't know what happened, man. It's just for some reason everything, like my internet just died for a second.
That's all right.
Hopefully it's okay now.
It's okay. I was just talking a little bit about Josh Jacobs since he all of a sudden has become like the top scoring player of the week.
It's
still going on. He's one of the guys who really, as we're talking at the beginning of the show, our teams are not looking bad, and in large part it's because we don't have exposure to guys like Josh Jacobs.
Yeah, it's just like we've discussed this at like a couple of times, but I think one of the mistakes we made was just simply not sucking it up and drafting him an egregious amount in August. His price was definitely amenable. He honestly opened up a lot more hardcore zero RB builds than any of us are really willing to admit, right? Like, I feel genuinely sick that I don't have more of this mediocre player, right? like if you think back to it, there were a lot of issues. I think the biggest red flag for everyone was the fact that the Raiders declined his fifth-year option, right?
Yeah.
Like that's the Raiders saying, we made a mistake. We spent a first-rounder on you. We don't think you're worth the pick. okay, all this is fair.
Yeah.
And then they come out in that Hall of Fame game, and then it's sort of like backs up every negative connotation or every negative Josh Jacobs story, right? But that's when we should have been zigging when everybody else was zagging, right? Because like that's when the industry eventually was like, oh, he's a bad pick, and then everybody let him go, and that's when we should have been in on him. Because he was just going so late, just stupid late. All right, so first of all, Josh Daniels or McDaniels, whatever his, I don't want to know his name because he should never be a coach again. But, right, so I mean, like, the fact that Josh Jacobs has six targets and he caught all six of them for 74 yards, and now he's got 28 carries and 120 of, and he rushed for 120 yards and a score. Like, it's a little ridiculous that, you know, or even on his face to have assumed that we should have been taking shots on guys like Amir and stuff, and we should have just sucked it up and taken Jacobs in the eighth. Like, I think the lesson there, honestly, for all of us is to go with your gut there, and two, like, to like deck against in like true industry narrative, right? Like when you can get like a hypothetical presumed workhorse in the eighth round. I mean, that's kind of how Sean locked in on Melgo. Like, all those years ago, that's kind of like, you don't necessarily need an injury to these guys. You know, that's why he was up on Devonta Freeman. Like, they're all these type of guys who emerge. Like, that's why he was in on Chris Carson when like Rashad Penny was drafted. Like, it's so cost dependent, right? That that we really shouldn't necessarily be chasing guys early when the obvious answer is right there sometimes. Yeah. How do you feel?
Yeah, I think that's right. I think Jacob's price a lot of the offseason was pretty unpalatable to me. Like, he's someone I'm not excited about drafting anyway, but I was especially not excited about drafting him as early as he was going, even though there wasn't a lot of competition there. I mean, obviously, you know, they don't pick up his fifth year option. They draft a running back. They bring in Abdullah, who looks pretty good in the preseason. Or did he play in the preseason? I can't even remember.
But he's been playing all the passing downs anyway. Like, that's like when they put Abdullah in there, you just know it's going to be a pass.
Yeah,
it's like so pathetically choreographed that just the way it goes.
Yeah, that's true, and it's a lot like the situation we have or we used to have in Tampa Bay, where, you know, Fournette wasn't the best pass catcher, probably not even the best rusher, but he was on the field a lot because you don't tip your hand. And Jacobs, you know, probably not the best pass catcher on his team. But
he was just going to get fed by McDaniels, man. Like, yeah, that's just what he does.
So, yeah, anyway, it's unfortunate that, I mean, you're always going to kind of miss on these guys. Like, I missed on Fournette the year he blew up too. And I don't necessarily feel like I made a mistake. Like, that was bad process. I think sometimes, look at
Fournette this year, right?
Yeah,
like from a pure, like, if you want to start talking about process, right? Like, everyone who ran it, like, who was in on Fournette last year, ran it back with Fournette this year. How did that work out for them, right? Because today Rashad White was 14 for 64 on the ground, no touchdowns, but then got 9 of his 9 targets for 45 yards, right?
Yeah,
like Leonard Fournette was out, and he's probably not really going to be 100% for the rest of the season anyway. And again, it, like, that's also very contingent on a lot of other factors.
And he wasn't even that good when he was playing this year. Like, he had been a disappointment for people who drafted him in the third round.
Yeah, and that's just the way it's going to go, right? And I mean, like, it's the same goes for, like, we were talking about this a little bit with Eckler. And last week we were talking, I was like, oh, expect like a 50% cut, like, to his target share. And he ended up with 2 targets, right?
Yeah.
Today he's got 15.
Better.
Better. Oh, the Chargers actually steal one. They go for it.
Is that game?
It's over.
Oh, yeah. All right.
They win 25-24. Yeah.
Okay. Cardinals.
Yeah, this is nuts. it's a disaster.
I mean, this kind of, you know, if you had any worries about Eckler's workload after last week when he got 2 targets, is this, you know, this just kind of shows you it's,
I mean you were never benching him, but
right, for sure. I think 15 targets probably isn't going to happen, but what do you make of DeAndre Carter getting 10 targets and kind of leading the wide receivers? Do you think that's legit?
Yeah. I think these, like, auxiliary guys are pretty legit. Like, there's no way to know how much they can really trust Keenan, right?
Right.
And last week it was Joshua Palmer going off. This week it's DeAndre Carter going off. Mike Williams remains sidelined.
You think Carter will stay involved when Williams is back?
Probably. I mean, I think at this point, like, that's the thing is, like, he's pretty good. You can't just put the lid back on.
Right.
You know, like, these guys are all fairly good.
Right. Right. I mean, 47 pass attempts for Herbert is obviously a little bit higher than what you would expect. But they do get some games that could be pretty big. Miami in week 14 could be a shootout. So some interesting games coming up on their schedule.
Yeah. So I mean again with Herbert, like, it's good when he's forced to throw a little bit, especially when he has the weapons. You know, I mean, a lot of people have been up in arms on social media about him. Very galvanizing quarterback.
Yeah.
I apologize to everyone for yawning on air. It's just with that kind of a day.
Just be happy he's here.
I'm sorry?
Just be happy you're actually on the air. It was a nightmare, the 5 minutes I'm trying to run this show.
Yeah, the 5 minutes are here. Yeah.
Not even. It felt like 5 minutes. It was 5 seconds.
Yeah, no, I was gone for a while. Like, I was like, what the heck is going on?
I mean, on the
trail. Sorry?
Go ahead. I was gonna just bring up some stats on the other side. Marquise Brown. Came back from injury and led the team in targets. DeAndre Hopkins had only 6. Brown had 8. How do you see that kind of target split playing out?
What's actually really interesting to me is the fact that, like, he got that much work, right? Like, Cliff was basically out there saying he's going to be on a pitch count, like 30 snaps max.
Mm.
I think he played all but 30 snaps, maybe. Like, I think he played the whole game. And that's, like, crazy for a guy coming off foot injury. It's good to see that he was able to make some plays, draw a bunch of targets.
Yeah.
It's good to it's funny to see that this offense, now that it's, like, you know, pretty much full strength, is still managing to find ways to lose.
Today they were without 2 of their best players, probably their absolute best player in Greg Dortch, and then second best player in Rondale Moore. So,
yeah, that's true. They're not fully. That's true. They're not 100%. That's right. They're
missing key pieces of the receiving core.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. I mean, we love to hate on the Cardinals, and when you have Kyler Murray only attempting 29 passes,
yeah,
in a loss in a game that was close throughout, obviously. You know, I think there was some question about his health, whether he was fully healthy, but still.
The way it goes sometimes, man.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Eckler didn't, man, he had a terrible rushing day. I mean, they all did, but it's good to see Eckler continue to get those, like, that, get that receiving game usage. 15 targets is ludicrous, man.
Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, what's probably the craziest thing is that it's like the third or fourth time he's had, like, at least 12 targets this season. So it's ludicrous, but it's also kind of becoming commonplace for him.
Yeah, he's just one of those things where he's just going to keep getting the kind of usage. It's crazy, in a good way, right?
Yeah.
Let's see. From a football perspective, it's kind of been a little bit dead, right? Like,
yeah. One team you had been kind of complaining about on Twitter and on off air is the Broncos.
Yeah.
I think you can. Can you?
Yeah, they really
any of these guys on their team, like if you probably have to start Dulcich if he's your tight end, but other.
Oh, I mean, no. Sutton was such a trap, man.
Yeah,
he's been so bad. I don't know how Kendall Hinton gets the most targets on the team, but I don't know what the fact that Hackett still has a job is nuts. I think we're beyond. This is just like a blip for Russ Wilson, though.
Yeah.
Like I think this is fairly pretty much sustained downward spiral. He really hasn't been a good pick for quite some time, though. Like for the last few years, he's returned like an average or below average win rate for quite some time. And the Broncos are a bad team. I mean,
yeah.
I genuinely regret not playing. This was a bit of a bummer that Michael Carter got hurt again second week in a row. I regret not playing Latavius Murray because he clearly is their workhorse for whatever that's worth.
10.8.
It's not pretty, right? But it's just crazy to me that they lost to this awful Panthers team.
Yeah. I mean, the Panthers didn't look terrible today. You had DJ Moore kind of finally putting up a decent game, even though it was only on 6 targets.
Yeah, I mean,
Foreman again rushing pretty well, 113 yards on the ground. I don't know. I guess playing against Denver probably helps a lot.
Yeah, but the weird thing is that the Denver defense is actually pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
So what's going on?
Yeah, I mean, you only had Sam Darnold having to throw 19 passes this game, which is probably going to be a recipe for success for Carolina. Like, if he's asked to do a lot more, that could be, you know, that could easily turn disastrous. But, the kind of efficiency that we saw from Carolina today is definitely unusual.
Yeah, and they're getting it done on the ground, really. I mean, they gave Foreman 24 carries, Chuba Hubbard 17 carries, right? And these guys both did pretty well with their workload.
Yeah.
They didn't really have to take to the air very much. Really hiding Sam Darnold was a pretty good play. And the Broncos really looked bad for a very, very, very large stretch of this game.
Yeah.
Like Russell Wilson has hit a absolute nadir here in Denver.
Yeah, I mean, Wilson, obviously you can't start.
I've been seeing people like drop him everywhere. He's been dropped left, right, and center.
Yeah, right. You can't start him. You can't hold him in 1QB leagues. Do you see him being drafted in redraft leagues next year?
Yeah, for sure. I just wonder at what. I think he's going to be a 10th round pick again, dude. I wouldn't think to do much on it.
When I'm trying to think of fair value, I'm like obviously he's Russell Wilson, but
he's not Russell Wilson, certainly
this year and maybe even the year before. So I mean,
his name is Russell Wilson. I'll give you that.
I don't know. It would be hard to click his name before like the 16th round.
Yeah, I mean, and depending on how you structure your team, you wouldn't have to. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Even
in the 16th round, like you could get Tua in the 16th round this year, and you'd rather have the young guy who might be a bust but might actually turn into Tua than Russell Wilson, who you know is on the decline, hasn't had a good game really the entire season. He hasn't thrown 2 touchdowns. He did it once. He did it in week 4. He threw 2 touchdowns. Every other game, he's 1 or 0.
Yeah, have you been following this Russell Wilson touchdowns versus toilet saga?
No, what's that?
It's like does Russell Wilson really throw more touchdowns in the season, or does his house have more toilets in the season? So far he has thrown for fewer touchdowns this year than he has toilets.
Wow, Okay, so he's got a pretty nice house then, I guess, but...
Oh, yeah, no, he's got a phenomenal house.
Let's see. How many touchdowns does he have on the season? 9?
He has 7. He has 7 touchdowns on the season.
So,
I think he has a...
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah. Crazy.
Hang on, Russell Wilson toilets. Now I need to pick this up.
He threw 1 today, so 8.
He has 12 bathrooms.
12 bathrooms, only 8 touchdowns. Sad. I mean, I don't feel too bad for him with 12 bathrooms, but...
Yeah, I mean, he's got that many bathrooms.
I feel bad for Cortland Sutton, and I feel bad for... Well,
I feel bad for... I feel... Like, you know who I feel bad for? I feel bad for Jerry Jeudy, right? Like, he gets... He's been stiffed. He's been the one who's actually been producing with this version of Russell Wilson. And then everyone keeps, like, flocking back to Cortland Sutton, right?
Yeah.
Like, what does a guy have to do to get some respect around here?
I don't know. Get a different quarterback.
I don't know how that's even going to be possible.
Yeah, Judy's been all right. He's had some duds, obviously, but Sutton also has, and Sutton hasn't even had a 20-point game yet this season.
No, he hasn't. That's like the thing, right? Like, the way all these guys were being drafted was so early that they're definitely losing you your league as opposed to winning it for you.
Yeah.
Like all you need is for, like, has stopped drafting wide receivers too early or have been far too cocky with the feeling of, oh, I've got this sure thing now. What happens next? And I can see you taking on far too much risk and your team is destroyed. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Although, I mean, even like if I was drafting a zero RB team this year in the 5th round, I'm taking Jerry Jeudy. 6th round, I'm looking at, you know, maybe it's a little early for London, but I'm considering him there.
Yeah.
So like all these guys, even if you're trying to get really deep at wide receiver, you're taking a lot of guys who have not necessarily panned out this year.
Yeah, and that's to be expected. I mean, they're not that many, but that's the thing, right? Like every year we think it's unique and different, but it's not, right? Because we do end up with a lot of bad picks. It's just a matter of how you put them together.
That's true.
I mean, that's really the NFL, right? or well, really, that's kind of that's kind of fantasy football. You're going up against people who, like, you're really trying to avoid guys who have those 25, 35, you know, weeks, those games, right? Like, I'll give you a good example. Like, I'm actually going to lose my matchup this week in the league. It's not going to really hurt me much, but it might. But I have Ken Walker and James Conner.
Yeah.
I didn't get much out of Waddle, got nothing out of Brown. My opponent had Garrett Wilson and T. Higgins.
Yeah.
Right? And Justin Herbert. And that's about all he needed. Like, that's kind of the firepower he needed. You don't need to get a lot right.
Yeah.
And speaking of, T. Higgins got 7 of his 9 targets for 114 yards and a score. What is your take on that, right? Like, and what do you think happens when Ja'Marr Chase comes back?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, I think it's possible for Higgins to keep this up even with Ja'Marr Chase on the field. We kind of, this year, I think Chase never really was able to get it going in a big way before his injury. Apart from, well, I guess the last 2 games before he got hurt, he was doing really well, actually. But yeah, it's definitely possible for those two to coexist and to put up big scores. You just need the Bengals to kind of commit more to the passing game than they have been up until recently. So hopefully this trend.
They're still trying to run the passing game to the running back. So like,
yeah,
Ryan had, like, he had 7 targets today, man.
That's true. Yeah, I mean, P. Ryan with 7 targets, Hayden Hurst with 9 targets. You expect when Chase comes back that those two are the guys who are going to lose a lot of targets, and Higgins will hopefully, I mean, he should keep most of his.
But Zach Taylor is like an exercise in futility.
Yeah.
By the way, I see you wearing a Ravens shirt. Do you want to talk about that game at all?
Ugh, no.
Oh, but we should, because it was fun. I mean, well, realistically, this is like the Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, we should.
This is the Trevor Lawrence. Yeah, like, this is the Trevor Lawrence we were promised, right? I mean, I think all of our lives would be a lot better if like Mark Andrews was just catching wide open passes.
Right.
But there was some injury news and notes that I had from this game.
Yeah.
Like ETN went out very, very early.
He did. And he was never ruled out, as I recall, but he never came.
He was cutting and stuff on the sideline.
Yeah. It looked like he might have come back in, but you know, Hasty was playing pretty well. He scored a touchdown. He was catching passes. Agnew caught a touchdown pass. I think that probably they decided they would just see what they could get out of these two guys and not risk it with ETN. But so, I mean, from what I can tell, it sounds like his injury is not too serious. So hopefully he'll be good to go. We didn't see Daryl Henderson in this one, but he obviously kind of throws a wrench in things there.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think they're going to – I mean, they were very quick to grab Hendo off waivers. Mm-hmm. So I'd be excited to see them decide to unleash him. Christian Kirk caught 4 of his 9 targets for 46 yards, which is, you know, it's surprising to not see them use him a lot more. But Zay Jones was cooking, man. Caught 11 of his 14 targets for 145 yards. What's your take there?
Yeah, I mean, this is kind of the stat line that Zay Jones was putting up every week at East Carolina. So this is not a surprise if you at all remember him from college, but he obviously hasn't really been able to do this in the NFL yet. You know, this is a team that is kind of lacking wide receiver weapons, so they're going to need guys like Jones to step up every now and then. And it's definitely encouraging to see Lawrence put up this stat line, 321 passing yards and 3 touchdowns, when he's throwing to guys like Zay Jones and Jamal Agnew and Jamichael Hasty and stuff.
Yeah, he definitely looked like this was the first time that I didn't really look like the guy that was promised. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Which sounds a little ludicrous to say, but it's true. It's just, you know, like
first time in his career he's had over 300 yards and 3 touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, could be. I mean, you know, so hard to tell because his rookie season obviously was terrible. This season he's looked a lot better, but still not great until today, really. And I think a large part of the problem is just that his team is not very good.
No, but going to be fairly promising, I think. Calvin Ridley, Christian Kirk is a lot different. And Zay Jones as your wide receiver 3 is very different than what you've got, right?
Yeah.
Chris Genova says, what's happening, guys? What's going on, Chris? Thanks for joining us. Thanks for tuning in.
Yeah. I mean, on the Ravens side, obviously, there were a lot of missed connections, a lot of drops here that contributed to this. But I think still some interesting things to take away, like Josh Oliver with 6 targets and a touchdown. Probably not going to be a thing going forward.
That's like the tough one, you know. Joshua McKitty's also in here. Matt's up, guys. Chris asked a good question. Got Hurts, Jones, and Campbell in my lineup, projected to win by 2 right now. Do you think I should keep Paris in or out or put in Christian Watson? So I kind of think the way that I see that is if you go in with Watson, you're essentially game stacking, and I like that idea a lot. I Paris Campbell has been playing pretty well. I'll be honest, man. Like, I've got a really bad sense for these sit starts. So I'll just pull up. I'm actually gonna go completely neutral on this. I'm gonna go and I'll have it guide me.
I think in a vacuum, you would give the edge to Watson.
I think so too.
The question is Watson kind of like a boom bust kind of guy who has a much higher likelihood than Campbell to get you 0? Because projected to win by 2 points, it's still pretty close. I want to score as many points as I can, so I would lean Watson.
Our Gillespie's got like Paris Campbell at like pretty much double Watson's average projection.
There you go.
So I think I would just keep it as is. But I don't mind. I don't mind you making a stand and just game stacking with Hurts, though. Hurts plus Jones and running it back, Christian Watson, would be a fine little micro game stack. And you can see how that, like, that story plays out is Hurts gets up and the Eagles get up big and Jones plus Christian Watson get all that usage on the way back.
You could also see it, you know, the Eagles get up big and then Green Bay ends with like 3 points.
Yeah, I absolutely can see how that worked. Like, yeah. The one interesting, I guess the one note that I want to go back to a little bit is Treylon Burks is looking a lot more efficient with his with his targets. He's gaining a bigger share. I don't know what's gotten into the Titans of late. They just sort of went out there and let Ryan Tannehill cook, which is absolutely insane when you consider the fact that, like, the way you attack the Bengals is on the ground and they have Derrick Henry. And anyway,
Henry wasn't his best on the in the running game today. Only 38.
No, amazing in the receiving game though.
Yeah, right. I mean, six targets for Burks, 70 yards. It's obviously a pretty decent line from a guy who hasn't shown us a whole lot this year, although this is now two pretty solid games in a row. So it's looking optimistic. They're at Philadelphia next week. So that could be a tough one.
Blair, to add to our pain, Josh Jacobs just over game between the Raiders and the Seahawks on an 86-yard touchdown run.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
Oh, babe, bros. This is honestly, I'm gonna need some money, guys. I'm just looking at all my DFS. Oh wow, I don't know how, but I'm in the bottom stoop, second percentile. I think I might just have to self-exclude rest of the season, guys. Like, it's just not gonna happen.
You know, a lot of the sports books opened up in Maryland this week.
Yeah,
Thanksgiving, and I think one of the bets I placed today was Jacobs under 3.5. receptions or something. I can't remember.
Oh, you were dead before boat even left the harbor.
At least I didn't go too crazy on the Josh Jacobs unders, but he's
killing. It's like fantasy. How does he keep getting away with this? Right. And like, it's just he keeps getting away with it. Yeah, that's right. Joshua says Josh Jacobs dunked on us all. You know what? Yeah, like the biggest. But this is like Leonard Fournette last year, right? Like, I can't run it back with him in the third round next year. I can't.
And that's what I was saying. I don't even necessarily think it was bad process to fade Jacobs this season when so many of the signals were going against him in leading up to the season. And I mean, you know, now we have a lot more information and we know how Las Vegas wants to use him. We know he's, you know, I mean, you know, he was a first round pick. He's actually,
we know they didn't care enough to give him that extension.
Yeah, I don't know. What do you? So that's another good question. What's going to happen in the offseason with Jacobs and the Raiders?
I think they're going to give him an extension, man. There's no way you can't. There's no way you cannot, especially after he's played this well.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, the Raiders are. I don't know what they're even doing anymore. I think there are rumors that they want to move on Gar, so I think they'd be better off putting their resources there. Then again, they've been so bad with their first-round picks. They turned Khalil Mack and Amari Cooper into Josh Jacobs and a bunch of guys who aren't even on the squad anymore.
Yeah.
And
Josh Jacobs was the difference today, so that's a win.
Yeah, Joe King's in the chat. He says all the bros were wrong on Jacobs. He was going round sixth in the FFPC. Yeah, he was going round eighth by, like, the Hall of Fame game. And we were still just... like, this ain't going to happen. Not going to be us. We're not going to be suckers for this. And we got so thoroughly owned. We got owned to a degree where, like, you start questioning everything. It's like last year when, like, Leonard Fournette was going off. And, you know, you're sitting there asking yourself all these questions. And now, like, Rashad White is going, like, nuts. Like, I think the big question is, like, how much do you trust this? And I think... with Jacobs, like, it's going to be really tough to run it back with him. But man, I can actually see going some kind of wide receiver tight end Josh Jacobs build to like open up. Yeah, Joe, it's the archetype thing, man. I know what you mean.
Mm-hmm.
We did well, I think, fading Leonard Fournette. So I think we might have gotten lucky on that this year. Luck or skill, I don't know, right? Because I think that might have been slightly process oriented. But man, with Josh Jacobs, like, the weird thing is that like we knew he had this ceiling in his profile.
And
it only took them 4 years and not to pick up his frigging contract. The not picking up his fifth year option thing feels like such a strong signal, because when teams do that, you know the player's dust. Like, we see so many players move on to their second team after that.
Right.
Get no usage. And just get and then like who doesn't get that contract picked up, kicks it on the league, and he's done and he's out. Like, this is like a true, like, they rugged us, man. Like, we were rugged. Like, absolutely rugged.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, I think the one difference, and you kind of alluded to it, with Jacobs versus Fournette is that before Fournette's big season, he had been like one of the least efficient players in the league. And even when he was having his big season, he wasn't really that efficient. So it's like, okay, this guy is probably, you know, like, he could be one of the least talented running backs on the field, on any field. But with Jacobs, we've actually seen him play pretty well in the past. So there was some evidence that he did have this kind of ceiling. So I guess when it comes to next season, if he is going in the third round or maybe even earlier, I mean, he's playing even better than Fournette did last year, probably. You know, are you just completely out?
No, I can't. I mean, you can't, right? Like, but I think the way I'm going to approach Josh Jacobs' builds is very specifically tight end, wide receiver. Josh Jacobs is like the pick.
Mm.
And then wide receiver, wide receiver, wide receiver, probably tight end again. And then you're going to expect, and this is going to sound just crazy, but Josh Jacobs is your like anchor RB.
Yeah.
And then Jesus take the wheel. Right. Like,
yeah, I mean, that could definitely work. I can't see myself drafting Jacobs next year at all on any team.
But again, we're going to have to look at like some guy who we're going to get at that discount, right? That's sixth, that goes in the sixth and then slides down. And then we're going to have to decide, is this the guy I want anchoring my zero RB build?
Yeah. Someone who used to be in the third round.
Yeah. And then just like slides. And there's a lot of them, right? Like all the injury guy, like Dobbins could be one of those dudes.
Mm.
But like, I don't even know how you trust it with Dobbins because of how hurt he's been. You know what I mean? Joe Mixon slappies are never going to let him get down there, but he should be.
It's hard to imagine. Like, I mean, Ezekiel Elliott was already almost there this year, and he's probably going to be even later.
Man, I think. Oh God,
DeAndre Swift doesn't fall that
Zeke
far.
Like the sixth. No, there's no chances of Swift.
Yeah.
But like with Zeke, if we get like a, like, oh God, it's going to be Zeke, man. And then we're going to recreate ourselves.
It's hard to see with Zeke because he's like, it's so.
He's
gotten progressively less explosive than he was early in his career.
And he doesn't get this kind of level of targets, but like, I guess if anything happened to Tony Pollard.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's a good question. If Zeke is going in the eighth or ninth round next year, like.
God. Yeah. I'm in.
Yeah. You have to get some exposure. Maybe at least.
I'm in. I'm not going to like it. And I'm not going to be proud about it. And I'm never going to talk about Zeke exposure like I need to, but I'm in.
Or maybe. I don't know.
I'm just trying to look up who was
fall that far.
Sorry?
Dalvin Cook. He probably wouldn't fall that far.
No chance. No way.
He had too many good games this year. Kamara too.
He's had some very lucky games this year.
Although, I mean, Kamara's another one we can talk about because he's really not playing well.
Oh, next year's going to be tough for him because he's actually going to be serving that 6-game suspension.
Right. All right. So and there's a he probably does fall into that range.
Yeah, but then you have to also keep in mind you're losing six games, and there's a real possibility that the Saints ship him off. And
that's true. Which could be good, the way he's playing with the Saints this year.
And since you keep rotting out the corpse of Andy Dalton, who did nothing. I mean, I didn't even want to talk about this game. I guess we do need to talk about this game because of some news on this on the Niners side. But on the Saints' side, Alvin Kamara, 7 carries, 13 yards, no touchdowns, and then got 6 of his 7 target for 37 scoreless yards. I mean, this was just a game where, I mean, you ran into the Niners. Like, they're one of the best defenses in the NFL right now. For lack of a better word, the Saints brought like a butter knife to like trench warfare. I don't know, man. like they got just completely destroyed.
That's like, all they had.
There was no hope.
They don't have anything better.
It was like watching Blackadder, like the fourth, they're like, they're just losing copious amounts of men, and they win this little patch of land, and they're like, we won this. This land is symbolic of our victories. And the Commander's like, I wish to go see it. And yeah, they're like, this is it. This is what we won. It's very. If you watch this game, I feel bad for the Niners, like the Saints fans have to sit through this, and then I feel bad for the Niners fans because CMC's usage was all over the place. He apparently hurt something today, and so they curved back a lot of his work. Had a very un-CMC like line: 11 carries, 32 yards, no scores, and then only 6 targets, 4 catches, 17 yards. He was not moving the same. So one, Elijah Mitchell also got hurt. So Blair, is TDP back in play? Like, would you pick him up? And then how bad is this for CMC's outlook rest of the season?
I guess you have to pick up Davis Price. I just dropped him last week to pick up someone else, but I don't know. I guess you have to. I'm less concerned about McCaffrey's usage. I think, this was kind of a weird game where they didn't necessarily need McCaffrey as much, with the Saints not even able to do anything. Obviously, if there's some injury news on him, I want to monitor that. But I'm not panicking yet on McCaffrey. So, obviously, you have to start him if you have him. And
yeah, same goes with Jeff Wilson. I believe he also hurt himself towards the end of that.
Yeah, we should talk
with this. All is well with him too.
Talk Miami. Did he get hurt? I know. Tyreek Hill left the game. Sorry, just
yeah. I mean, everybody left the game. Like the Texans are a disgrace, dude.
Right. Yeah, that's true. It sounded like Hill left the game because of some cramping or something.
Yeah. So
I don't know what that's about, but in any case, yeah, the Texans obviously are a disgrace, but I mean, the Dolphins are legit. Actually good, right?
Oh yeah, they're definitely good. It's gonna be really fun to watch them go, I think. By the way, there's a bunch of teams on bye next week, and the only ones that are really of any consequence, at least this late in the season, are probably the Bears with Justin Fields, and then you got the Colts with JT. I guess Watson's a question mark, right? Because he's been coming on pretty hard. But that brings us to a question, right? So what are your thoughts on the game tonight, Packers at Eagles? What are you hoping to see?
I'm hoping to see some of our viewers, I could use a big game from Christian Watson if the Packers can manage it. What am I hoping to see? I mean, I think this game, we already kind of know that Aaron Rodgers is dust. So,
yeah, there's a report that he's playing with an injury within his thumb.
Right. That's right.
Do you think, that's right. Joe's not asking too much. It's a 50-yard AJBT in the first drive. Hey, I need it, man. I will take any and every bucket. We talked a little bit about the Eagles and their power outage last week, and like this feels like a good get right spot for them, right?
Yeah, for sure. I think that's, you know, you hope that the Packers can put up some, get some quick scores to Watson and keep the game interesting so that AJ Brown can get that usage. Cause it would be nice to see him have a big game after a couple duds.
Yeah. I mean, the Eagles really haven't been scoring the way they need to. They haven't had to either. They haven't really been pushed as much.
Yeah.
But I would like for them to hopefully put it together, right? Like to know what happened. A lot out of AJB. Mm-hmm. That's right. FFPC playoff hopes on the line. That's good luck to everybody who is sweating that.
Oh man, that's right.
Yeah, and just one time for HAB, man, because I need him in a bunch of other leagues. A lot of best ball teams' hopes live and die with him. I would like to shout my third and fourth place best ball teams the last few weeks. The last 2 weeks, they've all done a really bad job, and they've gone from third and fourth to like seventh and eighth. So good stuff by me.
Oh man, I stopped checking those rosters teams in like week six. Once I knew that.
Oh, I was just scanning. I was like, oh, this one might have life. This one might not. I had a team that was in ninth, and I was like, oh, I wonder how far back I am from second. And I was like 250 points back from second. And I'm like, oh, this was like whoever the first two teams were in this one, this was like an invitational for them. Like, this wasn't even a league.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I'm optimistic that we see some kind of return to form for the Eagles here tonight. If nothing else, I'm hoping for a big game out of Aaron Jones and Christian Watson. Need them both in different leagues. Hopefully AJ Dillon comes on, if only for the sake of like best ball teams. That's about it. Christian Watson, I have him on a lot of best ball teams. I was really hoping that this all he does is score touchdowns and can continue for a little bit. And the only other game that we have wrapping this week out is Steelers at Colts. For that, I'm really hoping to see Pickens really continue what he's been doing, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. It would be great to see him get a lot more targets than he's been getting the last few games. We still haven't seen him hit like that, you know, that kind of target level that you want your elite guys to get to. So it would be nice to see them really kind of use him as a central piece of the offense, obviously with Deontay Johnson there. Maybe that's not going to happen. They also really like throwing to Freiermuth, which I'm definitely okay with. I own him on a lot of teams. So to see him continue doing what he's been doing would be good. And the next step from Kenny Pickett, I think, is what, you know, for him to take a step forward is what really needs to happen for both of these guys. So hopefully we see that tomorrow.
Yeah, I think the Steelers did a really bad job. They shortchanged Pickett by not letting him play with the starters at all until like week six or whatever, right?
Yeah.
So hopefully he arrives like around now. It's not going to do much for people if you drafted him heavily on the Steelers offense otherwise. on the Colts side, I'm just hoping. I mean, even Mike Tomlin was joking about it that like the Colts have an affinity to establishing the run. I wonder if like Paris Campbell can keep it going. I doubt it. I am kind of expecting actually a big Michael Pittman game tomorrow. I don't know why. I just feel like it's coming.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah, I don't know. I don't actually own a lot of the Colts offense outside of Jonathan Taylor, but
yeah. And he really, really did his dirty, man.
Yeah.
But, you know, never say never.
That's right.
I'm tied at 144. He has Jonathan Taylor. Should I start Pittman or Aaron Jones? That's tricky. I don't know anything about your scoring format. I'm assuming it's PPR. I might actually just roll with Aaron Jones. Wouldn't you think?
I think that that would be the default. The only reason to go for Pittman would be, you know, kind of on the theory that the Colts are putting up a lot of points and you need Pittman to.
Yeah, I mean, and the Eagles have been more susceptible to the run. They've been way more susceptible to the run.
That's true.
It's PPR. I think I just go with Jones.
I think.
Yeah.
I mean, in a vacuum, he would have the edge in terms of projection and we know
for sure
ceiling
and median outcome, I would think.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that you'd start Jones, brother. Sorry. This is Aaron Jones, I'm assuming.
Oh yeah. What other Jones would there be?
Yeah, I mean like the Eagles have been giving up a lot more yards on the ground anyway to run. It's just their stout run defense has fallen apart entirely. So I think that you just pray Jones can hit the big ones, the big runs, because that's what you're gonna need. I don't think Pittman really gets it done as much.
Yeah, the other thing is the most likely outcome if Taylor scores a lot of points is that Pittman has a really bad game. So
yeah.
So if you do need to keep up with a big Taylor game, then you probably need it to be Jones.
Yeah.
More likely to get it from Jones. All right. Anything else we need to discuss before we sign?
No, the Thanksgiving slates are always weird. I hope everybody did have a happy and safe Thanksgiving, though. We're going to definitely bring a guest on hopefully soon. And hopefully you all have a good luck with your playoff pushes.
Absolutely. And remember to subscribe to our YouTube channel if you haven't already. I don't think you get any notifications or anything like that, but it helps us with the algorithm, and rating and reviewing our podcast channel does the same. So yeah, thanks for tuning in, and we'll talk to you next time.